Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
We've had 35 resurrections of the dead. The closer they are to freshly dead, the easier they are to resurrect.
So I see this giant angel, and I asked him his name. It's a financial company, and I realized this angel's here for our finances.
And that's a true literal story, by the way.
These people are charlatans, and it's about time we draw a line in the sand and stop fraternizing with the wolves.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, how is my tough guy opening? Let's do this.
That's what that was.
You be the judge. This is Wretched Radio. Do you know who used to be a tough guy? Yeah, he used to be a tough guy. He's not anymore.
Who's that?
Emile Zwayne.
No.
He was a punk, a first-class punk. He was a Crypt or a Blood, one of those.
Really?
Yes. I know.
He's a nice guy.
Can you name anybody nicer? Now, there's people that probably could equal his kindness, but I don't know anybody who exceeds it. He is like so kind. And you have to ask yourself the question, how does a young man go from being in the Crypts or the Bloods, don't want to offend anybody if you happen to be a member of one of those gangs, how do you go from that to leading Living Waters as one of, and it's remarkable. Everybody knows it. You just meet the guy and it's like, is he really that nice? It has to be gifted, but it also has to be something that was cultivated. Because I don't think you can bear that much fruit without an awful lot of fertilizers. So the good news is, as bad as my tough guy impersonation was, it's better than Emile Zwayne's. There, I just said it out loud. What is on your wretched screen? Would you kindly send it to us? idea@wretched.org. If you would like to text, you may do so at 877-282-2337.
Okay, if you remember, we received an email from James last week who asked the question about the difference between the Quran and the Old Testament, where God directs his people to kill those of other nations.
Yeah,
yeah, so he wrote a follow-up question. He says, Todd, I accept your answer as a Christian, but how would you respond to
to somebody who's not?
To an unbeliever, yeah, that's right.
I don't think I would change a thing. If that is the right answer, and you can make that determination for yourself, the one that I gave, basically what I said is that God can command the taking of a life anytime he wants to, because he's the one who's responsible for life and death, and he never sins if he takes a life. Whatever the mechanism or tool that he uses, Allah can't, because he doesn't exist. I would stick with that. And I would explain that to the unbeliever that, first of all, Allah just isn't in the picture because he's not in the picture. But I would spend time helping people to understand that God is the one who makes the determinations of life and death. He is the author of life. He is the one who determines when your life on this side of the veil has ended. And he does that for every single life in all of human history. Can you imagine? This is I think, an aspect of God that we don't often appreciate. I think that we can get an even greater understanding of the bigness of God, the strength of God, the weightiness of God, when you consider that he has witnessed every single human atrocity, everyone, he bears it. Every death, he is the one who authored it, and yet he doesn't crumble, because everything he does is just and right, and he can bear that weight. We can't, can we? We all experience some people dying in our lives, but it's probably less than a dozen, two dozen, maybe billions of people. And yet he bears up because his shoulders can handle it. And I can't help but think about fame. I think that's something that we aren't meant to bear the burden of. I don't think that we are made to be receiving applause. I don't think that we are to receive accolades and that people are to be worshiping us. I think that's why so many mega celebrities go bonkers. They aren't meant to receive glory. Only God can receive that. So how would I explain this to an unbeliever? Same way that I would explain it to a believer. 877-282-2337.
All right. This is from Anonymous. Todd, I'm 42 and I own a pretty successful business. My wife is in real estate. We've been married for over 20 years, have two children, ages 12 and 16. Our schedules are flexible, so we share parenting and household responsibilities equally. My question is this. My wife's income is significantly higher than mine. Am I living in sin as the head of the household for not being the main financial supporter?
That the dynamic that was just described, I don't think so, because you are out there, you're doing it, you are working to support your family. So's your wife. And the fact that her income happens to be greater, I wouldn't put you in any sort of timeout box or imply that you're not being manly and leading and providing for your family. I would see it as a blessing and carry on. 877-282-2337.
All right, here's a text from Mike. Todd, my name is Mike and I'm 10 years old. I want to do magic tricks and I was wondering if it's considered sorcery and lying.
It depends on what you're doing. If you are doing actual divination, which I'm pretty sure you're not, Mike, then it would obviously be a sin. I would encourage this. This will actually help guide you. Not unlike a spiritual gift. I'll get back to that in a moment. Instead of calling it magic, call it sleight of hand. Call it illusions, because that's what they are. And there's nothing sinful about that. If you're presenting it as if you actually have the power to do things that suspend the laws of nature, well, that's getting into the side of witchcraft, divination, and sorcery business, which Exodus 18 says, huge thumbs down on that. So to not even find yourself in that territory, just call it, you do illusions, you do sleight of hand, and then I think you're operating on the right side of the line. Now, what does that have to do with spiritual gifts? I think the issue of one word and understanding the original Greek language would clear up so much confusion. Have you guessed the word tongues? We call it tongues, speaking in tongues. If we just use the original language understanding of what that was intended to be, especially as we see it manifested in Acts chapter 2 and called it languages, I think that we would have far fewer debates on the subject. The gift of languages, that is so different. When I go about the business of reading, say, 1 Corinthians 14, or I read Acts chapter 2, languages, much better word choice than tongues. You're welcome for that excursus. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Jonathan.
Is that kind of sneaky?
No.
Just kind of throwing that in like that?
No, you didn't say anything about 1 Peter, so you're good.
Ow. Don't make me, Jimmy.
Don't make you.
You know, you gave me a cannon the other day, and you know what I'm talking about. You gave me a cannon that I could fire at you at any time.
Oh, yes.
But yes, I'm not going to. Don't make me.
That's a double barrel kick. This is a text from Jonathan. Todd, as Christians, we should be angry at sin, but should we ever be angry at sinners?
Righteously angry, sure. But just indignant and no, you can't. There's a fine line, and I encourage you, it's very easy to cross that line and have fleshly anger because it offends me, it annoys me somehow, or I've been offended in some way, and I got to get my pound of flesh back. Yeah, that's sinful anger. But when God is assaulted, when God is attacked, then we should get angry. And furthermore, it can be at the individual. God isn't angry at sin every day. He's angry with the wicked every day. And I think all too often I see a ditch on each side of the issue of anger. I see people are like, you should never get upset about anything because that would be a sin to be angry. No, there's righteous indignation. And that is something that is totally in alignment with God's character and nature. I think there's another ditch that people use righteous anger to just be torqued all the time. And that's not the right ditch either. It's one of the finer lines that we have to walk as Christians, but walk it we must. 877-282-2337. Just go.
I know. Todd. Do you want me to ask you a question? That's the question.
No.
No.
Yeah. No, so, that's not the question. No, yes, I do. Now, look at the time.
Look at the time.
Like, we could have handled this.
No, we could
There was 52 seconds. It would have taken that 28
long.
Seconds.
It would have taken that long for me to ask the question.
No, it's a text. Go ahead. Go. What text do you have in front of you? Go.
It's this long.
Is it really?
It is.
That's the only one you got?
That's the only one I had queued up. Yes.
All right. Ay, ay, ay. If you would like to make a request for your money back for what you just had to experience, please send a letter to Jimmy at Fortis Institute somewhere.
So sorry.
This, now my cannon has another ball inside of it. This is Wretched Radio.
Most men don't make one big decision that takes them off course. No, it happens gradually, and eventually you look up and you realize, I've been coasting for years. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson has created Walk Like a Man. It's available now on Fortis Plus. Dr. Tyson knows that's the story for way too many guys right now. And so he gets into God's Word and he lays out what it actually looks like to walk with wisdom and live with real conviction. And the way he teaches it, you'll walk away from every episode knowing exactly what to do and why it matters. This is biblical teaching that puts solid ground under your feet and gives you a clear path forward. It's streaming right now with new episodes dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus for free. Download the Fortis Plus app right now wherever you download apps on your smartphone, your smart TV, or just go to fortisplus.org and walk like a man.
Is it possible a Christian university can actually be ranked high when it comes to preparing students for the real world? Hat tip to Masters University. You want to send your kids someplace where they actually still teach the Bible? Not just based on a document that they maybe have in a file cabinet someplace, but they actually use the Bible there. The education at the Masters University, not only biblical, but oh so practical. Courses, diplomas, degrees, they can be achieved online or, of course, on their beautiful campus in Southern California. Would you like to learn more about the Masters University to prepare you or your child for the future? I encourage you to visit masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers. Jerome was a 4th century Christian theologian and one of the original four doctors of the church. His most important work was the Latin Vulgate, a translation of the scriptures from Hebrew and Greek into Latin, the vernacular of his day. the Vulgate remained the preeminent translation of the Bible for a millennium.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Delight or heebie-jeebies. Those are the two options. This is Wretched Radio. If you find something wretched, would you be so kind to send it to idea@wretched.org? If you have a question, comment, conundrum, snark, text 877-282-2337. Jimmy, I'm going to share an idea that you haven't heard yet.
Okay.
You're either going to be delighted or you're going to get the shakes.
Okay.
You ready?
Huh?
I was thinking we could kind of go back in time and do something that we used to do on Wretched Radio years ago, but we stopped doing it simply because of the different formats on which this program goes out. What if we I'm scared of your reaction. What if we had got phone lines in again and people could call and we could actually talk to them on air? Huh?
Oh.
Okay. Asked and answered. Then so, we're doing it.
Jimmy, can it be done? Yes. Oh, me.
You love the idea.
Absolutely.
Uh-huh. We'll see. 877-282-233. It's fun. It's fun.
Yeah, absolutely. It would be fun.
It is so fun. Do you remember? Okay. Laura Ingraham, I don't think she does radio anymore. I don't think she's done it for years. She just does the Fox News thing. Do you remember listening to her talk show and how she would treat callers? Oh my. All right, Jimmy, we'll do a dramatic recreation. Okay. All right, you're going to be the caller. I'm Laura Ingraham. I don't like the role I'm playing, but nevertheless, let's go with this. I started it. And you call in with a question and just kind of be nice.
Uh-huh.
And, you know,
what's my question?
Introduce yourself. Just whatever you're looking at just to ask a question about it, but don't get to it immediately. Okay?
Okay.
You ready for your
don't
assignment?
Don't get to my question immediately. Okay.
Go ahead, caller.
Hello, how are you?
Let's get to it.
How are you
okay,
doing?
Okay, next. And then hang up on him. Seriously, it was that, like,
wow.
And she would just scold them. Like, okay, look, you got to get to it. Like, this is boring. Next.
She had a schedule to keep.
Unbelievable. It was so if we do it, it won't sound like that. 87. In the meantime, we'll do it the old fashioned way. We'll text. This morning. This is so amazing. I had a meeting that's been scheduled for a bit and we were going to do it via Zoom. My Zoom thing didn't work. There's nothing new.
The Zoom machine broke.
It just, well, it's spinning. And it's like, okay, I'm supposed to be on the thing right now. So right away, the guy texts and he's like, yo, you getting on the Zoom? And it's like, I can't. And he said, let's do it the old fashioned way. We talked on the phone.
Wow.
That's the old fashioned way. Alexander Graham Bell would just be thrilled to learn that. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a text from Anonymous. Todd, my mom is feeling grief over my siblings' resentment of her. Our parents certainly failed in the ways common parents, that's common to all parents, but they raised us in a Bible teaching and church and sought to protect us from many traumas they experienced in their own childhoods. None of my siblings will likely ever have children of their own and therefore likely will never come to a place of understanding and forgiveness as I have. They all claim to be Christians, but I struggle to see any fruit in their lives. Yeah. How can I best encourage my mom in her hurts?
Oh, you're a good child. Because what was just described is commonplace. It's almost the norm rather than the exception. It is that prevalent, the ghosting of good Christian parents. You can just keep saying the same stuff you've probably been telling her. You're a good mom. You're a faithful mom. I'm so grateful for you as a mom. And you can also, I think you can do a couple of other things. First of all, you can remind her that their sins are their sins. Now, did she do everything right as a mom? Of course not. None of us do everything right as anything, frankly. And yet she was a faithful mom. She did not cause their behavior. She is not the one who repelled them. They have made that decision. And you might want to repeat that regularly and often. But I think the other thing that you could share with her is the fact that this is an absolute trend. Go Google it. Just ask Google to pull up all of the articles on ghosting parents, toxic parents, and you will see that this trend, it's a plague. And she has simply been caught in the plague. So that maybe, just maybe, that helps her to understand she doesn't have to be this closeted Christian parent because her kids won't talk to her anymore. It's like, no, you just join the club, because this is happening to millions and millions of parents. And mom, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. All of the aforementioned things I said, plus they don't know what they're missing. They just don't know what they're missing. I think we talked about this maybe 2 days ago, something like that. The big things and the little things. The world has it so... Here's another example, I think, of Romans 1, where everything is flipped upside down. Here's Isaiah 5 for you. It's what's up is down, what's down is up. To the world, the big things are the little things, and the little things are the big things. The world sees little things like kids that honor their parents. They see that as something that's small and trite. That's a big thing. That's an excellent thing. That's an awesome thing. That's a rich thing. That's a profound thing. They've got it flipped. A family that stays together, a couple that stays married for 50 years, that's a big thing. And the world says, it's a little thing. No, and the things that you and I rightly see as little things, like fame and success, the world sees those as big things. And this is a constant war that is going on. And I think that the world has persuaded far too many young people that being in a great relationship with their parents, it's not just a little thing to them, it's a terrible thing to them. It's horrible because they're probably a white Christian oppressor anyway, and all the other nonsense that goes with wokeism. The world, they've just got it flipped. And that is why I think the church does well to remind young people especially what the big things are. What the big things are. That someday, you're going to want your kids to be honoring you. And wouldn't it be cool? Just imagine the Courier and I've seen. It's 3 generations. It's 4 generations. Everybody's loving one another around a Christmas tree. That's what you're after. That's the stuff that should be on your list of priorities. Those are the things that are profound and good. Don't let the movies deceive you. Don't let social media trick you. They only promote little things, trite things, silly things, or downright sinful things. Go for the big things. And the big thing, honestly, is family. Getting married, staying married, making babies, having grandbabies, and everybody loving each other and staying together, and the youth learning from the wisdom of the elderly, and the elderly benefiting from the energy of the youth, and the cycle goes on and on and on. Those are the big things. Church, we got to encourage that. We got to teach that. If you lead a youth group, I would encourage you to consider letting young people know on a regular basis what the big things are and what the little things are, because they're missing out. 877-282-2337.
This is from Hope. Todd, I know God should be my source of rest, but how do I practically implement that in my daily life? What do you recommend to find rest in God and His Word?
Oh, you just set me up to sin. What you're doing. There's a book coming out December 1st called Go Serve Your King. I'm just saying, it kind of deals with that. How do you rest in God? Wait, I want to get this exactly right to be as helpful as possible. Mm-hmm. The question was, how do I rest in God? What does it look like to rest in God?
Yeah, to implement that in my daily life.
All right. Yeah. You just, first of all, need to make it a discipline in your life. So as you're going through your life, when you hit traffic, when you hit a speed bump, when you hit a relational issue, you can stop and go, all right, what does God have to say about this? How does God inform this? Lord, what are you doing in this? Lord, what do you want me to learn in this? Lord, I remember your character and your attributes. You are sovereign, you're good, able, and faithful. I'm going to trust you. You have determined I'm going to be late for this meeting. I trust you in that, Lord, because you're good. and you're in control. And if you wanted me to be at that meeting on time, I left faithfully. I timed things out rightly, but you put traffic in my path. So I'm going to trust that you have something in this, and I'm even going to thank you for it. And that's just, I think, one example of how you can go about the business of resting. Let's go back to the brokenhearted mom. Mom, God is good. He's able and he's faithful. He could restore those relations. He could do it. But apparently, he's letting them continue in their sin because that's what's best for you. And you go, ah, no, it's not. I want my relation. Wait a second. God is sovereign. He's good. He is able and he's faithful. He never does anything to his children. He only does things for his children. And you can rest in his decision because you remember the attributes, the character, and the nature of God. Remember who he is and rest. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. Planned Parenthood's Illinois chapter just cut a $500,000 check after the EEOC found reasonable cause to believe the organization was segregating employees by race. That's right, the same outfit that lectures America about equity was running mandatory racial affinity caucuses. Basically, where white employees were forced into separate sessions and told they do not feel racism the same way. Meanwhile, the Trump DOJ finds itself in a very awkward position, defending a gender doctor against a detransitioner's lawsuit. Leighton Ulry, a woman who escaped 18 years of cult abuse only to be funneled into testosterone treatments by a therapist who convinced her she was transgender, is now suing the federally funded clinic that altered her body. Her attorney says the administration should be protecting people like Leighton, not fighting them. And the DOJ says it's fundamentally opposed to gender ideology, but claims the case is procedurally barred by the statute of limitations. Ulry still suffers chronic vocal cord inflammation and body disfigurement every day. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is now begging former residents to come home from Florida. Here's the irony in that. The same taxpayers that she's begging to come home, she told to leave in 2022. Hochul's pitch at last week's Albany Summit blamed Trump for the exodus rather than to say New York's crushing taxes and policies are what drove people out in the first place. California taxpayers are learning a similar lesson about government overreach. The state now owes gun rights groups over $1.3 million after its ban on advertising firearms to minors was struck down twice by the Ninth Circuit. The court found zero evidence that any minor in California ever illegally bought a gun because of an advertisement. The Second Amendment Foundation noted that Governor Newsom passed the law in response to a .22-caliber rifle marketed to junior shooters. That political stunt is now going to cost Californians. Up north, a former senior Canadian official is warning that Chinese-made electric vehicles could function as surveillance tools for Beijing, transmitting data from onboard cameras, microphones, and GPS back to China. And here's the genius response from Prime Minister Mark Carney. Strike a deal to drop tariffs on these very vehicles and then flood the Canadian market with them. Finally, Mark Zuckerberg's metaverse dream continues its very expensive collapse. Meta is shutting down VR support for Horizon Worlds after Reality Labs burned through $6 billion last quarter alone. Zuckerberg now mentions AI 23 times per conference and the metaverse just twice. That wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. Both you can do at FortisInstitute.org. Also, don't forget you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Important dates in Christian history. 1675. German Lutheran minister Philipp Jakob Spener publishes Pia Desideria, which becomes a manifesto for pietism. While both Catholicism and Protestantism define the faith in largely communal and societal terms, pietism emphasizes the personal experience of being born again. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Well, that question was a good deal, kind of a twofer. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy.
Yes?
Why didn't you define rest?
Well, I'm sorry. That was my fault.
The email that was... Did you edit it down or something?
I did.
All righty then. So if you missed the aforementioned debacle... Jimmy asked the question. Somebody wrote in and said, hey, how do I learn to rest in God on a daily basis?
Right.
So I took that to mean that you rest, that you cease striving to be in control of everything. You quit kicking against the goads and you trust that everything that God is doing in your life is for your good and for his glory. You know, the way the Bible says it. How do you rest in that? But now you inform me that wasn't the, what are we talking about? Napping?
A little bit. Yeah. So I didn't set it up properly and I apologize. Let's just ask the whole question as it was written in. This is again from Hope. Todd, my life has been so busy lately. Lots of ministry, working on my master's and working in addition to building a new social circle and planning things, big things for next year. There's always more to do and it's getting harder for me to slow down and rest. My best attempts at resting mostly involve watching something or scrolling through my phone.
Well, this would have been helpful information.
I'm so sorry.
You know, there's a semantic range to the word rest, don't you?
I do now.
Right.
So then the question, I know God should be my source of rest, but how do I practically implement that into my daily life?
Well, you might find some helpful articles at Challey's website, Tim Challey's website. He talks about subjects like this and time management and finding balance in life. You might find some really helpful articles there. He's also got a productivity book, Do More Better. Do More Faster, something like that. But at any rate, that might be a good source. Here's my Cliff's Notes version of what he might say. You might need help in taking and in opening up your calendar to somebody to help you make some decisions that perhaps put things in order for you. Because look, your bandwidth might be super wide. Sounds like it is, but it still has limits. Because we're not God. His bandwidth, infinite. Ours, very finite. Some skinnier, some wider than others. But you ultimately have a breaking point. You can only do so much. And so you would need, perhaps, some help. Somebody to give you perspective and say, let's take a look at everything you've got going on. Because even Jimmy, as you read through that laundry list, mm-hmm. as it started to get like longer and longer, and I'm like, well, you sure you need to be making those plans for next year already? I mean, yes, you do some planning, but it's like, hold on. Is everything on that list a necessity? And let somebody help you make some of those decisions and then hold you to them, recognizing this is not being a quitter. Look, there are some people who are lazy. They're quitters. This is not being a quitter when you cut some things off of your list. It is nothing but a reminder that you're not divine and you can't do everything. Enlist help and then enlist that same help or somebody else to hold you accountable. I can resonate with this letter. I get it. I like working. I like to do everything. I mean, I just like it. I don't care what I just like it. And I can see it as just being super important and it needs to be done and I've got to get to. Hold on. Here's some people that you can check in with that will also help you know whether your schedule is too packed or not. Those that are nearest to you. So in this instance, what does your husband think about your schedule? What do your kids think about it? What do your friends think about it? There is a balance in life, and the Bible doesn't give us this many minutes with this group of people and this many minutes doing this. The Bible is too brilliant for that. We've got Christian liberty in so many regards. But there should be something of a life balance, and I think the Bible lays out those priorities for us. Believe it or not, work is a priority over play. The world, once again, flip. No, play. That's the most important thing. Life balance. I need to work as little as I can to play as much as I want to. Wrong. We work and rest only to regenerate ourselves so we can get back to working. Why? Because God has assigned us work, because God is a working God. And so our priority is work. And then you rest in order to do that work. Now you've got other considerations. You've got your church responsibility. You've got your family responsibility. And there can even be some of this discretionary time where you just do need to sit on the couch and just chill out a little bit. That's okay. Historically, haven't we seen confusion about this? Where it's like, there's an imbalance perhaps in society or in one's life. And you go, hey, wait a second. You're not, you need to be doing that too. And then suddenly that you need to be doing that too becomes you need to be doing that exclusively. And so you got to be constantly working on just thinking about your schedule and your balance. What does my family think about it? How am I doing with my church responsibilities? Am I getting downtime? Am I overscheduled? Am I getting frazzled? Then you need to make some adjustments and then make adjustments again. And make adjustments again, because life is not tidy and you'll need to continually go about the business of tweaking that schedule because you've got a lot of commitments. And if your current schedule is keeping you from priorities that God wants you to have, then you got to change your priorities and get them in alignment with God's. And to do that, most likely you need somebody's help. Hence the necessity of a good local church. Hey, you got anything to add to that?
Oh, I've got a lot to add to that. I actually just preached a sermon on that this weekend, but...
Well, then why didn't you answer the question?
But she asked you.
Okay. All right, then I'm asking you. What say you, Jimmy?
No. I agree with everything you just said there. Busyness, as Hope described it, it's good to keep your schedule busy, but I mean, it can be an idol.
That can be an idol. You're
absolutely
right.
Absolutely. But you know, the pattern, God built a pattern into our lives. I mean, he's a working God, like you said, and the pattern that he built into creation is 6 days of work, 1 day of rest.
Oh, you're becoming okay, here we go with the Sabbath business.
No, I'm not talking about Sabbath, period. I'm just saying that the principle is there. That's
you got to rest sometimes.
Yeah, you've got to, for sure.
And look, everybody's built differently. Jimmy, you're a worker. I know that. I see it. What time did you get here this morning?
6:15.
Okie dokie. So, good. Bless your heart. But were you up till about 1 reading last night?
I was not.
Okay, I rest of my case. The point is, everybody's got different bandwidth and there needs to be different balance. But yeah, rest does need to be a part of it. The problem is when rest becomes all-consuming, you're out of balance. But so too is too much work. And you're right, Jimmy, work can be an idol, especially for men. We find a lot of satisfaction in work. It's something controllable. You can see the tangible results of your efforts. And it doesn't usually have a lot of emotional baggage connected to it.
And it's so hard to see. Because you think you're being faithful. You're working hard, providing for your family and the world. Everybody in the world's calling it a strong work ethic. But man, it can just really become an idol.
It's a heart issue too that's a part of this. So that would be a good component to consider also. Why are you so busy? Do you know who I had a synapse in my brain. There may or may not be some sort of connection here to the aforementioned conversation. I think his name is Benny Johnson. Does that name ring a bell?
I don't think so.
Jason just sent me a clip of this guy. He was being interviewed on the Theo Von podcast show. I guess Theo Von is a comedian. He has a popular podcast. We've talked about this Benny Johnson before. He's the bazillionaire who wants to live forever.
Okay, yeah, I know you're talking about.
And so his whole day is consumed with taking care of his body. And I thought, if I could sit down with him, my first question would be, Benny, what are you so afraid of? There's something that motivates that all-consuming obsession with being able to live forever. I don't want to die. What are you afraid of? There's something underneath it. It's a heart issue that is lurking behind the motivation to go about the business of spending millions of dollars to extend your life and to try to look like a teenager, even though you're like 50-something. It's a heart issue that's going on there. I wouldn't want to talk to him. You know, Theo Vonnie's talking to him about, well, what about this and your blood level and the vitamin, whatever, sleeping, whatever. What's going on in that heart? Because whenever you see behavior that's extreme, and that can be health, it can be work, it can also be parenting, it can be your good things, right things. These aren't things that are sinful, but they become that because they've been elevated to the status of idol. And we live for these things and we find our identity in these things and we find our fulfillment and purpose in these things. And God God will crash those things for you. He will, to help you get it straightened out. And so that is why you always want to go about the business of finding those idols in your heart and trashing them and bringing them down yourself so that God doesn't have to do it to you. Refiner's fire, your heart's one desire is not to go through the refiner's fire. Put yourself through it. Do heart evaluation. So if you've got something out of balance, something that you're obsessed about, even a good thing, just do a little heart exam to make sure it hasn't become an idol. This is Wretched Radio.
As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. This 13-episode series walks through every major argument you'll hear and shows you how to respond with clarity and compassion. You'll also hear from voices like Paul Washer and Dr. John MacArthur, bringing the weight of Scripture to an issue the world wants to keep shallow. You won't find angry debate tactics or gotcha moments. No, this is thoughtful teaching that engages the mind and the heart, because the goal isn't to win an argument. It's to change minds and point people to Christ. Life is Best. All 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, "Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group?" Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting Scripture, and if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Worse, you're actually going to be an easy target for every false teacher with a podcast and a proof text. Herman Who is basically a master's level education in how to read the Bible correctly, and it's condensed into something that you can actually finish. You'll learn how to interpret a 2,000-year-old book in a 21st century world without twisting it into something it was never meant to say. By the end of it, you'll never read Scripture the same way again, and you'll never have the wool pulled over your eyes by someone who sounds competent but doesn't know what they're talking about. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Let me ask you a question. Have you experienced any type of real change in the areas of your life that really need it the most? Or do you find yourself just getting by, just figuring out a way to manage to the next day? Look, a lot of people have gotten really good at managing their anger, managing their anxiety, managing the habits that they've formed. But management, it's not the same as transformation. That's why one of the world's leading podcasts today is Transformed with Dr. Greg Gifford. Greg is a professor at the Masters University and a fellow here at Fortis Institute as well. And his whole focus is helping people experience the kind of change that only comes through the sufficient Word of God. And this kind of content is only possible because of our gospel partners. If you've been blessed by our ministry, I would love to ask you to prayerfully consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. I know you have questions about that, and we have answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Books of the Bible. The Book of Psalms is a collection of divinely inspired songs of praise for every season in life. There are songs of lament, thanksgiving, praise, celebration, and remembrance of God's mighty deeds. All to help us find our soul's delight in God in all circumstances. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Welcome back to Manly Wretched Radio. You don't need to snicker in there. I'm your manly host, Todd. We got a manly text number, 877-282-2337.
Is your voice going to hold up the entire segment?
Probably not. You can also text manly emails to idea@wretched.org and anything else I can think of to say that doesn't include Jimmy, because it would kill me to call you manly. It would just, I die a little on the inside.
I won't make you.
This is Wretched Radio. Don't know why. I think this was just, I think that it was good men coming together and going, we got to do something, because we didn't plan this, but we have been creating a ton of resources for men. Oh. And so we built actually a complete landing page for it, the Be the Man page, because it has Gentleman, that's with John Kratz. Mm-hmm. We are just launching now Adam Tyson's Walk Like a Man.
Right.
You've got the thing on pornography, Play the Man, mm-hmm. all free, available at fortisplus.org. So if you're a young man, you're trying to find your way, you're trying to, like, can I please get some voices that are clear and biblical and helpful and won't scold me and shame me, then avail yourself of all of these manly resources at fortisplus.org. Then, when you're done scrolling, please send wretched stuff to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
All right, here's a question from Athul. He's from India, and he says, Todd, my question is whether I can have health insurance or term insurance as a Christian. Would it be like not trusting in God's sovereign plan?
Maybe. Maybe not. It's a hard issue. I think health insurance, was it health, life, term? Which one are we talking about here?
Yeah,
all health, of them?
But yeah.
Uh-huh. All right. Well, there are distinctions that I think require a little bit of more fiddling, but let's just stick with health insurance for a moment. It depends on your heart. It's a neutral issue. It's like this microphone I'm talking into. Is it a sin for me to be using this microphone? Now, if you're listening to me talk, you would say it absolutely is a sin for you to be talking with or without a microphone. But that isn't my point. The point is, if I'm just using this microphone in service of what I'm trying to do, which is talk, no problem. But if this microphone is the center of my life, this microphone is amazing. And I love talking into this microphone. This microphone is the best microphone. This microphone is better than Glenn Beck's microphone. It's not. His probably costs about 70 times more. The point is, it becomes an idol in my heart. But it's just a microphone. Doesn't have to be an idol, but I make it one. In other words, it's a heart issue. And that is, I don't know what the percentage split is between issues that are clearly verboten in the Bible and issues that are just neutral. This bottle of water. I can be sinning with it or not. It's just a bottle of water. It's what I do with it in my heart. The same thing is true with health insurance. If you're freaking out, oh, I'm going to die and I'm going to end up in a gutter and nobody's going to care for me and God is nowhere to be found and he couldn't help me if I didn't have health insurance, then you got an idol problem and you should repent of that. But that doesn't mean it has to be an idol. It can simply be a wise decision. And I'll just, this is my side. Everybody's got to make their decision about health insurance. Jimmy, it is getting so bonkers out there with the health insurance business.
Oh, man.
Whew, I'm telling you, can we focus on some of these issues? Because this is a monster issue. The health insurance, you pay a fortune and you get nothing. You get nothing for it. We, Mrs. Friel and I added it up. We take a look at what we spend on insurance. And it's like, we're spending that much per year. Now take that over, say, the last, I don't know, 20 years. We haven't, praise the Lord, experienced anything that was like a big bill. I get that's the point of insurance, which is why I think catastrophic insurance is a pretty good idea. But we totaled it up. It's like, basically, we could be rich if we hadn't spent that money for nothing. And then you try to get something approved. Now you got to get it pre-approved. So but I digress. Now see, in this instance, health insurance would be a sin because my heart attitude toward it right now is quite hateful. But perhaps because it's health insurance, it's a righteous indignation. The issue of insurance, like so many things, it is a heart issue. Life insurance. Is there anything wrong with setting aside some money so that if something bad happens to you, you can provide money so that your family doesn't suffer? I would struggle to say that's a bad idea. Now, if your reason for buying it is, if I don't buy this life insurance, if I don't have this policy in place and I die, my kids, they're going to starve to death. And my spouse, she'll be sold into slavery. And I'll never see the grandchildren will never get an education. I've got to get this life insurance. Then you're sinning. But it doesn't have to be a sin. It can simply be a wisdom issue. It all depends on the heart. Because that's what Christianity is. Christianity is a heart issue. It's a heart religion. It's all about the affections. God does not want little Pharisees. that apparently keep up all the rules, but their hearts, they're brood of vipers. They're whitewashed tombs. They stink on the inside. God wants us to make decisions based on our attitude and our affections toward Him, distinguishing Christianity from every other religion in the world. 877-282-2337.
All right, here's a question from Anonymous. It's a text. Todd, we have a very important report that we use to work off of at my job. During meetings, my boss frequently presses us to use this report as our Bible. As any believer would, I feel incredibly frustrated to hear this. What would be the best way to respond?
Depends on your personality. There are some people who can say things, message sent, nobody's offended. I'm not one of those people. And so you need to get your heart right in the first place and then consider your personality, your skills and your strengths in communicating confrontational issues like this, and then launch it. If it's bugging you that much, would it bug me? Yeah, it would bug me. I have to admit, it would bug me. Would I feel the need to say something about it? I'd probably have to be in this situation before I could answer that that question with any clarity. But what you could do is just talk to the guy privately. Hey, friend, coworker, boss, whatever. This is maybe going to sound a kind of trite and silly. Could I ask a favor? I know you're not doing this to bug me, but every time you say that this report is our Bible, the Bible is actually like really special to me. Would you be kind enough to do your best to try to avoid that phrase? I'd be just super grateful for that. And off you go. I don't think I'd turn it into a big deal. I don't think that I'd fire some sort of shot in a meeting that makes him look dumb. But I think the biblical principle of going to somebody, confronting them face to face, having prayed, making sure your heart is right, that would be the path that I would encourage. And by the way, that is an encouragement that is needed inside of the context of the local church. Do you know why, Jimmy? Because that's the sermon that's going to be preached this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church.
From 1 Peter?
How'd you know?
Oh, wow. Good guess.
You Karnak, you. Kreskin, you know what's going on in my mind. No, it is from 1 Peter because Peter is very concerned about unity. He wants to make sure that the body is healthy. We'll do this another day, and I'm probably going to do this when we finally get to the end of 1 Peter. I've been scanning, looking through the different pastoral epistles written to the pastor and the churches. Wow, the duplication of the concern of the author, whether it's Paul or Peter or John, is staggering. It's like, hey, wait a second. Paul talked about that. Hey, wait a second. That was in Colossians 3. Wait a second. That's in Ephesians 4. Hold on. That's Titus 2 from 1 Peter. Because the issue of church unity and how we get along was so important to the apostles who wrote those epistles that they repeat. Each one of them made a point about it. Get along. Get along. Don't fight. Don't squabble. Don't be unnecessarily critical of one another. Overlook one another's faults. Communicate lovingly with one another, rescue one another so that we have unity so that the world sees it and wants to know about our glorious Savior. That's a message that is so constant in the epistles. So to the local church, if you're in one, and I hope you are as a believer, we got to work hard toward it. All of these men would not have labored so long on the subject of unity in the context of the local church if it weren't a threat and a danger, and if it weren't an Achilles. Like there's some sinning that can go on in the church, kind of no big whoop, if you will, in that it's not going to be devastating, it's not going to be factious, it's not going to cause all kinds of division and people departing. But there are things that do, and it's how we treat one another, especially in the context of how we go about the business of interacting when, I don't know if you notice this, none of us are perfect, when we sin against one another. And so I think I'm making this commitment for Alpharetta Bible Church. This is going to be one of those subjects that we revisit somewhat regularly because it must be an ever-present danger. Otherwise, it wouldn't be in so many epistles. that God wants us to live together in unity and love. And one of the best ways to do that is to not gossip about folks, but to bring your issues directly to one another. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.